Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
On the NFL Network at this hour, it's a replay of Saints and Colts. They are midway through the second quarter. Now, I've spent some time on this show talking about spoilers. Spoiler alert! There's history that's about to take place. If you haven't seen it, you need to keep watching. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, and you'll probably want to turn off your radio right now. I will say it's something that I appreciate about different internet sites. They will warn you. But there's got to be a date of expiration, though. It's probably not a couple hours after Monday Night Football. But for instance, if a TV show or a movie's been out for a year and you still haven't seen it, then I can't be held responsible for spoilers. In the case of Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints and the Superdome and 70,000 strong and magical history, even after a false start, I got to tell you, it's up to you to stop listening now because I have a job to do. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on the CBS Sports Radio Network. And we're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the homes of their dreams with their help, and they can help you too. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. It seems like these Drew Brees moments keep happening on the national stage, and he is born for that stage. We know he's comfortable there. We know he rises to the occasion, and we know that he raises the level of play of everyone around him. Now, he doesn't stop very often to reflect, but it was good to see him revel in the moment, smile, exult, bear hug his teammates, grab his coach and wrap him up, thank the fans inside the Superdome. And honestly, as a football fan who would have loved to have been there in person, just to watch it on TV was incredible. 14 months after Drew Brees passed Peyton Manning for the NFL's all-time passing yards, he had another opportunity to pass Peyton to stand alone atop the mountain.
Brees is under center. The snap, the spin, the fake handoff, drops back seven, throws a soft pass in the end zone, backpedaling catch, touchdown! It's grabbed by Hill! That's it! That's the record! Drew Brees has thrown for more touchdown passes than any quarterback in professional football history. Drew Brees atop the list, and perhaps never to be caught. 540. Unbelievable. History in the Superdome.
It was a magical moment. It was emotional for him, for his family, his wife, his kids, and a bunch of other friends and loved ones who were in a box, in a suite there in the Superdome. But 70,001 people on hand, not to mention millions of others around the world watching. And this is something that we're going to see more than maybe we anticipated. After Peyton Manning set the record, we knew Drew Brees and Tom Brady were close. But now, as they continue to play, Brees a month away from turning 41, Brady at 42, we might see these guys go back and forth. So it's a unique kind of history that the NFL hasn't seen since 1973. And I absolutely love this obscure nerd alert, and I have to pass it on, and then we'll hear from Drew himself, even as he stopped to reflect. If Brady passes Peyton Manning as well, meaning if Brady gets to 540 and beyond, the record is now 541, courtesy of Brees throwing yet another touchdown pass before he was pulled from the game. But if Brady joins him, once Brady joins him and passes Manning, it'll be the first time since 1973 that the top two leaders in career touchdown passes are both active quarterbacks. How neat is that? This is the type of history that we haven't seen, that I have never seen, since Johnny Unitas and Fran Tarkenton in 1973. Most of us, well, I shouldn't say most of us, a lot of you who are listening, a lot of you watching football today, are too young to know about Unitas and Tarkenton or the fact that they held this battle of their own in 1973. But that's a cool nerd alert, right, for this Tuesday morning. And then one
other nerd stuff
piece to add to it. Tarkenton, Dan Marino, Brett Favre, Peyton Manning, now Drew Brees, have held the record since then. Congratulations to Drew. I say this a lot. He is among the best ambassadors for the NFL because of his leadership, his heart, his grit. He's overcome the odds, not to mention he is maybe the most accurate quarterback in NFL history. His devotion to his craft, his preparation, the way that he encourages and exhorts, and the way that he gets everyone on the same page. He's a special quarterback. He's a special football player. And he's the best of what the NFL has to offer. If you need another record, by the way, again, spoiler alert, not just nerd alert, but spoiler alert. And this is kind of a cool story, which you may not know if you weren't listening to Westwood One last night. Kurt Warner somehow got this stat from his preparation. You know, Kurt Warner, Hall of Fame QB. He's the partner for Kevin Harlan on Westwood One. And he passed this stat along to the Saints PR department, who then came back to him to clarify. So Westwood One clarified that this, in fact, was a stat and a record that was within reach with Drew Brees. And so that's why he stayed out there into the fourth quarter, because there was another record that he could obtain. Phillip Rivers had a game at some other point in his career in which he was 28 for 29. So obvious, near perfect completion percentage. But by going 29 for 30, Brees also set the record for single game completion rate at 96.7%. So Phillip Rivers was 28 of 29, and his completion percentage was 96.55. So Brees is now 15 tenths of a percentage better and has another record. But this all came from Kurt Warner and Westwood One, who let the Saints PR department know. The Saints came back to them to ask, just to be sure, passed it along to the sidelines. And so Sean Payton and Drew Brees got that record as well, which I think should blow that whole idea of we don't care about records right on out of the water. Something else that was kind of interesting, too, you may have seen this on social media on Monday. After practice, Reggie Bush was taking a video. Brees was meticulously going through every single one of the potential scenarios. So various plays, various red zone opportunities and options, and even what might happen when he got the record, if he got the record. And that's the type of preparation that Brees is known for. Because he wanted to be sure that even if the record happened, in the heat of battle, maybe they were trailing the Colts, that he'd be prepared for whatever scenario might surround that touchdown pass. Now, they thought they had it with a few seconds left in the first half, but there was an offensive pass interference. Is that not ironic? And no, it's not rigged. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 29 of 30 for 307 yards. A single game completion rate record, 4 touchdowns, and, in case you're keeping score at home, 22 straight completions for Drew Brees, which is a personal record. He'll have a chance to extend it. There is actually an NFL record that he could break next week. Crazy enough, right? He's assaulting the history books. But the NFL record of 25 consecutive completions is now well within his reach. But he's at 22, which is the best in his personal career. So what did he have to say after the game? You don't hear him reflect much. Same with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning. When they're in the heat of battle, and even when they're in the middle of a season, they don't often take the time to reflect. But he couldn't pass up this opportunity, and everyone wanted to know his thoughts.
It just kind of makes you shake your head. You know, just, are you kidding me? You know, I'm not sure how we got here. it just, you know, kind of makes your whole life and career flash before your eyes. Because I never thought I would have had the chance to be a part of something like this. And just looking at the entire journey.
It's good to take time to look back because we can see how far we've come. Now, we don't need to do it every day. You can't make progress in your life if you're constantly looking back. But it is good to stop, to reflect, and to appreciate that a year can make a huge difference. 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. That sometimes when it seems like progress is painfully slow, or that you're taking one step forward and two steps back, some perspective to stop, take a breath, look over your shoulder, realize how far you've come. That gives you motivation and hope for sure. So on this Tuesday morning, as our Twizzler Tuesday question, we're asking you, what's one accomplishment or achievement or milestone you're proud of in the last year? And we've had some incredible answers. Thank you so much for sharing snippets and moments from your personal life in the last year. But you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. It's crazy how these Drew Brees snatches of history keep coming on a national stage, huh?
It was special. Everything about the night. I don't know how they pick. I don't know how they pick them, right? Monday Night Football, playing the Colts, right? The team that we won the Super Bowl against 10 years ago. So the whole Super Bowl 44 team is back for the 10th anniversary. And obviously, national television, you know, big game. And now, you know, that record in the balance as well.
Speaking of perspective, it blows me away that it's been 10 years since the Saints won that Super Bowl. And for those of you who remember it, whether you're Saints fans or not, it was something that all football fans, most football fans, maybe not Colts fans, were rooting for because of the process of healing and everything that New Orleans and Louisiana and the region had gone through with Hurricane Katrina. And the Saints had been a major piece of that healing. Sports have that power to heal. So for them to win the Super Bowl 10 years was a victory that the nation celebrated. I can't believe it's been a decade, though. You want to hear something crazy? Just, I mean, leave it to Cam Jordan to give you this kind of weird reaction to Drew Brees breaking what he calls yet another record.
I feel like I probably keep taking him for granted. I don't know. You have somebody who scores as many touchdowns as he has. It's just another record for him. How many records has he broken? He's breaking like two today. You know, like 15 over the course that I've played with him. I don't. Another accolade. We're looking for a Super Bowl.
In essence, I can't keep track. It's another accolade. This is Drew Brees. This is what he does. This is essentially life with Drew Brees in your locker room. And we're looking for another Super Bowl. Of course, that is the main thing, right? And it wasn't just about the record last night, though the Colts were more the sacrificial lambs. But it was also about them matching the record of the Packers, the Niners, and the Seahawks. Can you believe that? In the top heavy NFC, four teams have records of 11-3. And the Minnesota Vikings, though they haven't clinched a playoff spot, are right there and still in the running for the NFC North crown. But it's significant for the Saints because even though they locked up the South, they actually do not hold the tiebreak against either Green Bay or San Francisco, which means they want to win it outright, the top seed, a bye. They cannot finish any worse than three, but they would love to be in that one or two spot when it comes to the end of the regular season and the dust settling. As for the Indianapolis Colts, they have been officially eliminated from playoff contention. Frank Reich's crew had a tough month in which they lost four consecutive games.
He's done that to a lot of people, a lot of defenses. I mean, I didn't realize it, but I looked up there one time. I saw he was 27 for 28 or something. Is that right?
He finished 29-30.
Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, when he gets like that, I mean, I don't know anybody that can stop him.
When he, Drew Brees, gets like that, I don't know anybody who can stop him. High praise from a former NFL quarterback himself. And, you know, it was only 14 months ago we were watching him on the national stage with that incredible touchdown pass, in which he set the all-time yards mark. And now we're going to go back and forth. Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. But it may be a long time before we see anything like this again. We're blessed to have these quarterbacks, and Peyton Manning recently retired. Brett Favre, it seems like it was recent, but it's been a few years now. But there's nobody else who's close. If you look at the passing touchdown charts, Philip Rivers and Eli Manning are 6 and 7. But there's a chance that both of those guys will be out of the NFL after this season. Although I know Philip Rivers, that's still up in the air. It seems like Manning may retire unless he wants to serve as a backup. Also still up in the air. But those guys are in the upper threes, the upper 300s. They're 6th and 7th on the all-time list. They're the only other active quarterbacks in the top 7. But they're 150 touchdown passes behind and late in their careers, if not almost done. Ben Roethlisberger is number 8. Aaron Rodgers is number 9. But those guys are nearly 200 touchdown passes behind the mark set by Drew Brees and potentially by Tom Brady soon. Matt Ryan is just outside the top 10, but I mean, he's more than 200 touchdown passes back. What these guys have done playing into their 40s at such a high level, we may not see this again for a really long time. I started to think about who might assault the record. It would take some years, but maybe a Patrick Mahomes. I don't know. There's so many young quarterbacks now. They're almost hitting the reset button on that position in the NFL. So enjoy it while we can, football fans. Drew Brees, Tom Brady, recently Peyton Manning. This is a phenomenal generation of quarterbacks. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. What's one thing that you are really proud of as we stop and reflect on 2019? What's an accomplishment or achievement you're proud of? Maybe a milestone. On Twitter, on Facebook, 855-212-4227. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! Touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon. Touchdown!
1 man to beat 10. He's gone!
They throw in the end zone. Caught! Touchdown!
Made a guy miss. He's inside the 5. He's to the 3-2-1. Touchdown!
Southern Salting into the end zone. Touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Buffalo Bills.
From the 14-yard line, they need 9 yards to keep the drive going. Here's the snap. Allen looks to his left, now goes back right side. It is caught. Touchdown, Tyler Kroft. Touchdown, Buffalo. He looked everybody off. He looked to the left and fired it to Tyler Kroft on the right side. Touchdown, Bills. The go-ahead score.
The New Orleans Saints.
Brees is under center. The snap, the spin, the fake handoff. Drop back 7. Throws a soft pass in the end zone. Backpedaling catch. Touchdown. It's grabbed by Hill. That's it. That's the record. Drew Brees is thrown for more touchdown passes than any quarterback in professional football history. Drew Brees atop the list and perhaps never to be caught. 540. Unbelievable. History in the Superdome.
The Jacksonville Jaguars.
34 seconds to play. Down 3. Third and goal from the 4 for Jacksonville. 2 right, 1 left. The show and Blaze are coming. Burner drops the throw. Fires to the right side. The ball is caught. Touchdown, Chris Conley. Touchdown, Jacksonville, and the Jags have taken the lead with 31 seconds to play.
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Wentz firing, and it is caught. Is it a touchdown? Is it a touchdown? It is. Caught in the far corner of the end zone. It is a touchdown, and they are surrounding as the pass goes deep into the end zone to Greg Ward.
It is some kind of a cool weekend in football, and now we had to pick these four touchdowns. I don't even know if any other touchdowns will get a vote besides Drew Brees. That's bad, right? But, you know, I'm I don't want to shade the voting, though. I feel like it's my responsibility to wait and see what you go with. But the poll is up on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. We had some really amazing candidates. So if it's not Drew Brees and his record-setting TD, if you maybe put that one aside, there are some others. We could have put Julio Jones in there as well. He was your choice for Monday MVP. On the Bills Radio Network, Tyler Kroft with the late touchdown that gave Buffalo the lead in Pittsburgh and allowed them to go on and get their 10th win for the first time since 1999. John Murphy is the voice of the Buffalo Bills. Of course, Frank Frangie on the Jaguars Radio Network, Gardner Minshew's touchdown pass to Chris Conley, spoiled Oakland's final game at the Coliseum and happened with 31 seconds left. Merrill Reese on the Eagles radio network. Greg Ward used to be a college quarterback, and Carson Wentz needed him to catch that ball. The Eagles stayed alive for the NFC East. And Kevin Harlan on the Westwood One radio network. The New Orleans Saints and Drew Brees making history again, or as Cam Jordan says, yet another accolade. We won a Super Bowl. Again, on Twitter or on Facebook, it's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're asking you, what is a milestone, an achievement, an accomplishment that you are proud of in 2019? And a lot of you are being really candid, which I appreciate. Troy says on Twitter, I'm proud of 3,110 days clean and sober, which is amazing. Some of you are saying that you got engaged, you got married, you had your first child. All of those things are awesome. And Chris is retweeting the ones that you're sending me that are personal and that deserve to be celebrated. Also on our Facebook page, we've had one man talk about his mom's being declared cancer-free. Also amazing. So we're talking about real life stuff here, not football. Though some of you have sent me football or sports achievements that, I'm sorry, you really didn't have a whole lot to do with, but, you know, whatever makes you happy. So either on Twitter or on Facebook, it's our Twizzler Tuesday question. What's an accomplishment or achievement that you are most proud of in 2019? Because we're almost at the end of the year and turning the page on a decade as well. So, wowzers, it's a good time to reflect. All right, coming back, I think I'm changing my mind about one coaching job in the NFL. And so we'll get to that. And it sounds like we have another quarterback change in the NFL as well.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Morin Samuel left. McCaffrey in the backfield. Huge play. 13-0 Seattle. Third down and goal from the one. It's McCaffrey right up in there. A glorious, righteous holiday touchdown run.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Mick Mixon on the Panthers radio network. We love Mick. He's been a guest here on the show. And I don't want to call it a waste of Christian McCaffrey's phenomenal season, because I don't think that's fair. It's not a waste what he's done, what he's accomplished, what he's achieved. But it's unfortunate that we won't see McCaffrey on the playoff stage and we won't have an opportunity to see what he can do in January. It's been an otherworldly performance from him, and a lot of times he's the guy who's keeping the team afloat. Now has 1,300 rushing yards to go along with 14 touchdowns, and that's not even the whole story. When you look at his receiving records, then he has another 814 yards and four more touchdowns. So the guy has 18 total touchdowns and more than 2,100 all-purpose yards. But without Cam Newton, and now with a Kyle Allen who's really struggling, I'm sure some of that has to do with defensive coordinators having tape, having all kinds of tape. knowing the best way to defend him and contain him. It's a 6-game losing skid. The offense has really struggled. The defense has too. We know that Ron Rivera has been replaced, and now the Panthers are looking for a new head coach. But similar to, say, a Nick Chubb in Cleveland, Christian McCaffrey has been a bright spot. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. It's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Just because I said that, Chubb leads the NFL in rushing. He's now at 1,400 yards. Derrick Henry, second place. And then Christian McCaffrey, if we're just talking rushing yards, is at 1,307 in third place. While we're asking you what's a milestone or achievement or accomplishment that you're proud of in 2019, I think if you look at the NFL and the number of young quarterbacks who've had their first career starts, that would certainly be a milestone and accomplishment or achievement that many of them would mention. And now we're about to get another one. According to sources, rookie Will Greer will replace Kyle Allen as the Panthers' starting QB, and they're going to have a chance to maybe see what he can do. Now, this is no doubt part of the process of trying to figure out what they're going to do at quarterback moving forward. So when Kyle Allen was playing well and had gone how many games without throwing an interception, and the Panthers were above 500 and looked like they were not just going to stay afloat but succeed despite losing their former MVP. Well, sunshine and roses. Hey, we have a starting quarterback who's a heck of a lot cheaper. Now, the Panthers organization didn't say that, but that was the refrain from a lot of Panthers fans and football fans around the country. But it's not the case anymore. So the Panthers have not only a coaching decision to make, but David Tepper, as the owner, then has to decide, or at least help the general manager, maybe they hire a new one there too, and the head coach to decide what to do at the quarterback spot. So that is a change that we're expecting, though Perry Fuel, the interim coach, has not yet confirmed it. Terrell Suggs, contrary to some of the reports that I saw, even from our own CBS insider, Jason LaCanfora, plans to report to the Chiefs. That's the latest. He'd initially talked about how he wasn't going to report to a team that claimed him unless it was the Baltimore Ravens. But after the Baltimore Ravens declined to put in a waiver claim, kind of interesting, we had a caller on the show late yesterday. So it was final hour of our Monday morning show. And he asked, you know, what do you think is likely? I think it's likely the Ravens claim him. And I asked him why. And he talked about Suggs being good at setting the edge. But I wasn't sure they had a need there. And it was the Chiefs who claimed him. Baltimore, of course, would have been the first choice. But according to Josina Anderson, NFL insider for ESPN, the Ravens decided it wouldn't make sense to bring Terrell Suggs back. And think about where they are at 12-2. They have the last chance to claim players off waivers because they have the best record in the NFL. Now, the Chiefs lost Alex Okafor. He tore a pec muscle, and so they had a need. They're really thin at defensive end, and so that's why they put in the waiver claim. And it sounds like he is going to report, though we'll see. We'll wait to hear from Terrell Suggs himself. He had 5.5 sacks for Arizona before he got waived. 855-212-4227, or you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. I mentioned a coach who I'm kind of changing my mind about now, Freddie Kitchens in Cleveland. If it was just about the football, if it was just about the losing record, in my opinion, the too high preseason expectations, if it was just about mismanaging the end of a game here or there or some strange play calls, I would stick to my guns and say, you got to give him another year. As much as I get it, it's his fault because he's in over his head, it's also not his fault because the ownership, the Haslams, and John Dorsey threw him into a situation where he was green. He had no experience or wisdom to draw on. They declined to bring in a veteran head coach or even some with any coaching experience, college, high school, something. They knew what they were getting. There has to be patience there. If you're going to hire a brand new guy, a newbie, a baby, well, then you have to be patient. But it's not just about the football anymore, and this is where I'm starting to maybe change my opinion. I'm still on the fence a little bit, but could this be the point of no return? There's a part of me that thinks this might be a joke. Mike Silver of NFL Media reports that in Arizona, Jarvis Landry and other Browns were yelling at the Cardinals sideline, "Come get me," as in, "I want out of Cleveland." Now, could that possibly be a joke? Maybe a nod to the reports that Odell Beckham Jr. has been doing that this season? Maybe. Maybe. But it's also disrespectful. It's unprofessional. And you know what else it is? It's indicative of the lack of discipline this team has. I've talked about that multiple times this season. Usually it's reflected on the field in the number of penalties and the stupid penalties, the dumb mistakes. But now it's starting to ooze out of the locker room. A, if I'm the head coach or the GM and one of my players tells an opponent, "Come get me," I'm happy to oblige. Get your ass out of town. We don't want you in our locker room. That's my attitude. I know it's easier for me to say it than to do it, but I'm just telling you. You don't want to be in Cleveland? Get out. That's part of the issue with them not having a winning culture. Everybody has to be bought in. Ask Sean McDermott, who's just now turning things around in Buffalo. When there's been no pattern of winning, it takes a long time to establish a foundation. And they've had nothing but change over the past couple of years. They've had nothing but change for 20 years. But if they don't respect Freddie Kitchens, that may be the point of no return. Again, if it was just football, I say you have to be patient. The expectations were too high anyway. But it may not just be football. And Freddie Kitchens may not be the only one who needs to go. If there are multiple Browns saying that in a road game to other players, you know what that tells the other players? These guys are not prepared. They're not focused on playing. This is a team that we can take. It's a team that we can beat. It just undermines everything the Browns say they want to do, which is win and compete. Keep trying. Keep grinding. Nah. Two-faced. Either you're in or you're out. It's black and white. It's purple and gray. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Tony, who's in Cleveland. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Amy.
Sure.
I told you about a week ago, I said that this feels like deja vu. Well, it is deja vu now. And as much as I, like you, didn't want to see a coaching change, the culture in the locker room is so bad right now. And so much of it, not all of it, but a lot of it has to be attributed to the leadership at the top. And that comes down to Freddie. And you could compare Freddie to Sean McDermott. You could compare him to anybody, and you can see there's a night and day difference. I kind of look at it this way. You could fill my garage with the best woodworking tools that could be found. And you can make my garage an incredible woodworking shop. But I'm not a master craftsman, and I don't know how to use all the tools. And it's going to take me a long time to learn how to use the tools before I can produce anything good. That's what Freddie's looking at. And we don't really, in Cleveland, because of our past, we don't have the time to wait another 2 or 3 years.
Oh, man, it doesn't happen instantaneously. I don't care who your head coach is. Even if you bring in an established head coach, a veteran head coach, it doesn't happen overnight. He needs time to establish his system, to bring in his personnel, and to clean the shop up. I mean, it still doesn't happen overnight. Okay, Matt LaFleur is an exception, and what they have in Green Bay and the way that they brought in winning players and they've all bought in. But very rarely does it ever happen, boom, just like that. Maybe Matt LaFleur was only they added some pieces on defense, but, he was kind of the missing piece. But in most cases, especially where there is no winning culture, there was one in Green Bay. It doesn't just all of a sudden sprout up overnight. You're not going to bring in Mike McCarthy and all of a sudden take this team to the Super Bowl. It takes time because there's no precedent. There's no standard there in Cleveland.
That is true. But the one thing a good seasoned head coach can bring into this locker room that Freddie has not been able to do is an instantaneous sense of respect and an instantaneous sense of appreciation for who this person is.
Credibility.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what we don't have, and
You're right.
Don't have the time to wait. We can't do another 2 years with one win, or anything close to that. So anyway, thank you for the call, and I'm glad that that's who you were talking about.
Okay. Yeah, I wish we weren't, but it seems like it keeps coming up. Tony, thanks so much for your phone call in Cleveland. Merry Christmas to you. Gary says on Twitter, Rivera, meaning Ron, would bring the discipline our team needs in Cleveland. Yeah, and I don't mean discipline as in punishment, though sometimes that is warranted. But I mean discipline as in get your act together or get out. You have a bottom line, a standard that every football player, every member of that franchise is expected to adhere to. There's a bottom line. And right now the line is sagged so far down that it seems like, now I'm not inside the locker room, obviously, but it seems like the discipline has disappeared. Maybe there's no fear of what might happen if these players don't toe the line. And as I said, it's disrespectful and it's unprofessional. I do not mean to say this is all Freddie Kitchen's fault. It's not. The players are grown men. They have a responsibility to be professionals. And they're not. And they're running roughshod, at least some of them. So we'll see what happens there. On Twitter, Clark says, 2 years ago I had a motorcycle accident. It took 2 years before I could play golf again. I came back and won the club championship at 71 years of age. No one's ever done that. He said, I hurt my shoulder patting myself on the back. But that's an accomplishment Clark is proud of in 2019, as he should be. Shannon on Twitter, as a runner, you'll appreciate this. In October, around my 10th, I ran my 10th marathon of the year, making this my 10th year of achieving at least 10, a total of 129. Are you kidding me? That's insane. Amazing, awesome, admirable, but insane, Shannon. Congratulations to that. Let's see, another tweet. My YouTube channel's growth went from 25 subscribers to over 800. Woo! I hope to reach 1,000 by New Year's, and also this year will mark 3 years alcohol-free. Good for you. I'm sorry I don't know your name, but good for you. That's amazing. Our friend Jerry Palm from CBS Sports, says, not sure which of these categories this falls under, accomplishment, achievement, or milestone, but I got engaged to his girlfriend Vicky, and that's awesome. I've told him congratulations personally. Terry says on Facebook, my wife and I celebrated our 20th year wedding anniversary, which is, yes, an absolutely incredible achievement. I love that you guys are willing to share these milestones with us. So take some time. Rashad says on Facebook, my twin girls were born 3 months early. After 164 days in the NICU, they're finally home. So cool. We're back tonight, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.